this morning we are beginning a new series called Thank God It's Monday. And I know that's not the way you usually hear it, but we've been going through a series of different sermon series where we've been talking about first a relationship with God and then with family, first spouse and kids. And there's kind of a heavenly order that God has. And when we put God first, that life seems to go better. When we put our spouses second and our kids third, it just eliminates so many extra problems in life. It's the way God designed it. There's blessing amongst it. To continue on with that kind of theme, we're going to talk about the third, or I guess if you include the family as two things, the fourth most important thing in our life or area of our life to consider this morning. We're going to talk about this whole area of work. Now, I know you're thinking, what in the world are we talking about work for? And I'll give you some stats that kind of bear this out a little bit. It's because you'll spend about 40% of your waking hours in your life working. It's because the average American will spend about 150,000 hours of their life at work. And since that's true, God must have something to say about this particular area of our lives. Now, there's been this stigma or this, I don't know, way of thinking throughout the ages that says that we go to church on Sunday, but sometimes it has nothing to do with what happens on Monday. And you see Christians go to church on Sunday and proclaim that Jesus is Lord of their life, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to live for him, but yet on Monday, they act a little different. And yet God says there is to be no difference. In fact, I want you to think of your work as part of God's purpose, part of God's plan for your life. So I want to ask a question this morning. It's the same question that Solomon asked about 3,000 years ago in Ecclesiastes 3:9. Solomon just simply asked this: what does a worker gain from his toil? Or maybe another way of asking that is this: why in the world do you work? And it's actually kind of a great question today, especially in a culture today where the government will actually pay you to not work. And so the question asked a different way is simply this: why in the world would you not just stay home, lay in bed, and collect the checks? Again, to keep the theme, why do we work? Some of you will say, if you're going to answer this seriously a little bit, you would say, well, I work to pay off my bills. You know, I owe, so off to work I go. Or a little over a month ago, my buddy, it was tax day, and he was saying, Mike, you know, boy, the kids are still deductible, but they're still pretty taxing at times. You know, and I know that was brutal, but that's what he said, and so I thought I'd share it today. Some of you would say, I work to get rich. Some of you would say, I work to retire. In fact, that would probably be the number one answer. But my question to you today is simply this: is that it? Is that all that you go to work for? Because God would say, if we were to be honest, if we go to his word and study it, that there's way more to work than just that. That there should be way more to your thinking when it comes to this whole idea of 40% of your life than that. So we're going to go through different things that Scripture says today. In fact, there's five different answers he gives to this question. And I want you to think of them each in their own way, because they deal with questions that we're having today in our families. They're dealing with questions that we have today and dealing with different political discussions that you're hearing around. They deal with the way we look at work, the value of work, all these different kinds of things. So let's go through a couple of them. One of the first answers that God gives us when it comes to this whole idea of why do we work is this: we work because it's his idea in the first place. It's his plan from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, it says, God created man in his own image, male and female. And God said to them, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. Three different things. It says that God is a worker. He spoke the world into being. And the Bible said that you were made in his image, and so that he wants you not only to do those three things he just commanded, but he wants you to be a worker too. He created you to work. One of my buddies said, well, isn't work part of the curse? He was having a bad day, and he just assumed that work was always part of the curse. And I would answer you, though, sometimes it may feel that way. No, it is not. God gave a man a job to do, even before he entered the world. Back in the Garden of Eden, the first chapter, he says, I want you to go out and rule the earth. And in the second chapter, he says, I want you to tend to the garden. So contrary to popular opinion, the oldest profession is landscaping, not that other one you hear so much about. So God says, I want you to work because you were created to work. And so what's the curse? In chapter 3, when sin entered into the world, God said, now your work will be painful. Work is not the curse, work is a blessing. The pain, the curse is the drudgery, the disappointment of all the hardness of work, the discouragement that comes from work, the difficulty in the work. You add to that all the people that we work with, which is consumed with sin because of original sin. And sometimes it's just downright brutal walking through the doors of work in the morning. But whose fault is that? It's not God's. From the beginning, work has been God's idea to bless you. In other words, God has meant to bless you through your job. If you take this idea that God has purpose for your life, that he has a plan for your life, then what you do for a living is part and parcel of that. It's not removed from that at all. It's one of the ways that he wants you to bless the other people in your life. It's one of the ways he wants to bless you. And for some of you, it just means that you need to get a whole different understanding of your job that you go to on Monday or Tuesday or whenever it is. Where it's not just a necessary evil. God says that it was his idea. In John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So God works, Jesus works. So do you want to be like God and Jesus, the whole goal of our Christian life? Then one of the things you have to understand that working is godly. And that's the first reason we work, because it's his idea, because he has purpose for our lives. And he wants to use our jobs in a way to accomplish that. Second reason God gives, we work because it supplies our needs. That's usually the one that we think of when we try to answer this question. It supplies my needs, it meets the needs of my family, it keeps me from burdening other people. A huge one. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, we are not idle when we were with you. On the contrary, we worked night and day abhorring and toiling, or laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Paul's just saying here, you can't accuse me of being a freeloader. I worked hard for the money. Now, I want you to compare that to this article I found from the LA Times opinion page a few years back. It reads this way. There's been a lot of criticism of people who don't want to work. Notice it doesn't say can't. It says don't want to work. There are people who legitimately need our support, especially when they're collecting welfare. Most people prefer to work, and that's fine. But others may prefer to sit in the park or go to the beach or observe the wonders of nature. Now, those who dislike working should not be penalized by depriving them of the benefits of our society. There's plenty for all. Everyone does not feel the same way about working. Some have built-in feelings about it that make it very unpleasant for them to work, especially when it's required. This could be looked upon as a handicap. We don't punish others with handicaps. Our society provides for them and should do the same for those with a natural dislike for work. Why can't we live and let live, with each to his own style? As you listen to that article, how many of you sometimes have a natural dislike for work? Anybody here? How many of you like to go to the beach or to the park or observe the wonders of the world instead of going in on Monday morning? Anybody sound good? Okay. What's interesting about this is you think, well, this is a couple years ago. This is from California. Mark Zuckerberg just this week came out and said that we should all have the same minimum paycheck, that everybody should get the same paycheck, whether you work or not. Now, sometimes you think about that and you think, well, that sounds a little bit like communism, but it doesn't, because in communism, everybody has to work to get part of what everybody worked for. There's actually no economic system in the world built on just giving stuff to people who don't contribute. So let's look at what the Bible says about this. The Bible says that you work so that you are not a burden to other people. Remember Captain John Smith on the Mayflower? The Mayflower rule was, if you don't work, you don't share in the meals. Where did John Smith get such a radical idea like that? The Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:11, it says, if a man will not work, he should not eat. He says, no worky, no eaty, right? It doesn't say if a man can't work. I want to emphasize that. There are people in our world that just can't work, and we legitimately need to support them. And to be fair, that probably should be the church's responsibility, right? Get it out of politics. Get it out of politicizing. Just do it for the welfare of people. It used to be that way in our country, to take care of the poor and the needy, from the homeless, and to help those that are legitimately in need. It's not talking about that, though. It's talking here, like the article, about people who are lazy because they don't want to work. As a result of that, sometimes the worst thing you can do for somebody is to give them charity, because it reinforces this idea of laziness. Somebody who needs it, you ought to help them. The Bible commands that you help them. But if a man will not work, he's saying there's no free lunch. Here's another important verse. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anybody does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so not only are you not to become a burden on society, you're not to let your family to become a burden on society. Interesting thought, right? They're strong words. He says, if I don't care for my family and provide for them, then I'm worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. I've denied the faith. That's how important God says work is. It was his idea. It's a way that we support our family. And interestingly, even when you go to the Bible and you look at the different verses in Scripture that talk about feeding the poor and helping the poor, who does he itemize as people included in that mix? The widows and the orphans. Those that don't have family. God says the church is to be a family for those people, to provide for them, to care for them. But if it's your own family, you need to not be a burden on everybody else. Another answer Scripture gives is, work develops my character. And so God uses your job as a proving ground to develop character. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And so if you're not faithful in the little things, who's going to give you big things to do? And if you're not been trustworthy with somebody else's property, who's going to give you your own property? See, and this is a hard truth, God is way more interested in building character in you than providing you a comfortable lifestyle. He's way more interested in building character than making you happy. He's more interested in perfecting you than he is in pampering you. And there are many characteristics that you can really only learn on the job. Because in families, we can kind of get into our grooves and we can kind of do certain things. We can get away with certain things. At our job, sometimes we're confronted with situations that force character to be built. For example, things like honesty and dependability, loyalty, patience, self-control, flexibility, persistence, integrity, confidence, punctuality. And the reality is that God wants to develop those things in your life. And so often he uses your job as a classroom for character. For example, some of you right now, even in this room, you hate your boss. He's heavenly sandpaper on your life. God, though, wants to teach you something through that boss, no matter if they're right or wrong. He wants to teach you. You can leave the job early, of course, but you'll never learn the lesson that God wants to teach you or wants you to learn. So God in his mercy often gives us other chances in life with another boss. This time it might be worse because he didn't get your attention the last time. But know that God is trying to teach you, trying to build character in your life. And so as a result, one of the most important things that you can bring home is not your paycheck, but it's you, your character. How are you different? When you consider getting a job, it shouldn't just be how much does it pay. But you should be asking the question, what's this job going to do to me? What's the effect this job is going to have on me? Let me give you an example of that. We had a member here a few years ago, young guy in his 20s, but he was in kind of upper finance. He was making a ton of money, six figures, incredibly competent, incredibly wealthy already, just even in his 20s. And he was coming to our church, and he called me one day, and he says, can I take you out to lunch? And so we went out to lunch, and he goes, Pastor, I've been incredibly successful. I'm fortunate, I guess, to have this job. But he says, one of the things I'm realizing, and one of the encouragements, and it almost seems one of the demands from my bosses, is that I'd be unethical, that I'd be dishonest with the people that we're working with so that we can make even more money. He said, the reality is we could make a ton of money without being dishonest, without being unethical, but they're putting a lot of pressure on me to do these things. I make a lot of money. I was just wondering if it's okay if I could just walk away from this. And so he walked away. Incredibly competent kid, find a way to make a living and do fine and is doing fine today. But the reality is, sometimes God wants to teach you something, grow something in you through bad circumstances or through good circumstances. And one of the things that this God taught this young man was that your integrity is more important than the money, than the paycheck that you're making. That doing the right thing is something that God's trying to draw from you, in you, by putting you in the opposite situation to see if you'll still do the right thing when everything else is encouraging you to do the opposite. So God uses our jobs to develop our character, to grow us into the kind of person that he wants us to be. Another answer Scripture gives, my work is an example to others. It demonstrates what I believe. It's a testimony. It's a witness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, make it your aim to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to earn your own living. Notice the words, earn your own living. In this way, you will win the respect of those who are not believers. In other words, it's an example to unbelievers in our life. It's a testimony. Actions speak louder than words. God wants audio-visual Christians. In other words, the place where you work, you start asking this question, is it a happier place because I work there, because I'm a believer? This meeting that I just went to, is it a better meeting because I was there, because I was bringing the words of Christ, because I was in the room? If you're retired or if you're thinking about just doing volunteer work, ask yourself, to that church meeting I just went to, did they see Christ in me? Was it a better meeting because I was there? The reality is, as you walk through life, it's not just on Sunday morning where your behavior counts. It's all the way through the week. People are looking at you. Sometimes you're the only Jesus they will ever meet. And if you're not showing them Jesus and you're showing them something else, then you show them in a very real way why church doesn't matter, why God isn't real. Because if you who profess God is real, and Lord of your life doesn't affect your life. It leaves a very confusing message for the world around us. As a result, your work should be the most strategic place in the world for you to share good news. Don't underestimate that. That's the place where everybody is. We spend 40% of our waking hours at work. We should be using this as a platform for sharing our faith in Christ. And the last thing Scripture says, the last answer to this question is, work gives me self-respect. Proverbs 22, verse 29, it says, "Do you know a hardworking man? He shall be successful and stand before kings." The value of good hard work is that you'll be successful and stand before kings. In other words, there's a sense of honor and dignity that results from legitimate work. As a consequence, there is no work that is undignified. Okay, if you're a hitman or something else like that that pursues evil, yes, that would be undignified. But legitimate hard work has dignity no matter what you do. And God has built in certain emotional rewards, and the only way you get them is through work. It is that sense of accomplishment, that feeling of a job well done, the satisfaction on the inside that just shows you gave it your best shot. Those are all things and experiences and emotions you only feel by doing your job. And I think Paul felt that at the end of his life as he shares these statements. He says, "I finished the fight. I've run the race. I fought the good fight. I finished my course." Paul's just saying, I have that warm satisfaction, right? That says I did the best that I could. And the fact is that people are happiest when they're striving for something worthwhile and meaningful in their lives. That's when they're the happiest. And it's one of the reasons, and one of the reasons for that is that it builds self-respect in your life. You're actually proud of who God created you to be. Converse that with the reality that I meet a lot of people, and in our world today, one of the number one emotional sickness, right, is depression. I meet a lot of people who are depressed today. And the number one reason for depression is low self-esteem. People just don't feel good about themselves. Especially you see this amongst teens today. I just read an article the other day that says that teen suicides are skyrocketing over the last year and a half. Low self-esteem is just rampant today. People don't feel worthwhile. That's why teen suicide is so high. They start saying, what's the use? Why even go on? And why is so low self-esteem so rampant in our society? Studies show that the more free time that we have in our society, the less meaning our life has. So we have kids today that get out of school, they go home, parents aren't there, the parents are subsidizing, they don't have any job, they don't have any purpose. They graduate and they're confused and they say, what is God's will for my life? If we're lucky, they say something like that. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Get a job. Really? Get a job. That's God's will for your life. He has purpose. He has a plan for your life. And your employment is part of how he accomplishes that. It's part of life. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. Now, I want you to think about those five answers. They cut across family discussions. They cut across political discussions. They're just realities that are out there. But you notice that in all those five answers that we didn't mention once anything about getting rich. Why? Because regardless of how much money you make, if you're in a job that's wasting your life on something that is not meaningful to you, then you've got a bad bargain no matter how much you're being paid. Meaning is more important than money. That's why we're going to spend a few weeks on this, looking at what God's purpose is for our life, what his plan is, and how it impacts our work. It's very important that you don't waste 40% of your waking hours on something that has no meaning. But regardless of what you do, know that your work matters to God. That he has a purpose for you and a plan for your life, that he loves you. It's the reason he sent us Jesus. So I want to encourage you to pray for two things today. I want you to pray first and foremost, God, use my job on me. Use the job I'm in right now to help grow me, to make me different, to change me. Use my job on me. And the second thing I want you to pray is, Lord, use me through my job. Help other people see you through me. And I promise you start praying that stuff, I promise you God will answer that. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you just for the ability to come together and worship you today. This is not the case in huge parts of our world today, where persecution is real, where Christians are dying, where churches are being bombed. And so we thank you first and foremost that we live in a country that has protected us and given us the freedom to worship you without worry. Father, we celebrate those that have fought in our country today to preserve that freedom, to protect us at all cost. We pray with the threat of terrorism just around us that you continue to provide that protection and that safety, that you'd be with our leaders and help them make wise decisions when it comes to this, and that you'd be with us every Sunday, Lord, as we worship you. Father, as we begin this study on our workplace, Lord, it just affects so many areas of our life, partly because it consumes so much of our life. Father, help us be witnesses to other people. Help us show them what Jesus is like and how much he cares. Help us look at our work differently. And as we talk about different things in our family and in the world, Lord, help your word inform us and direct the way we think about such things. Father, we love you so much, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.